order at 7:05. Everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This meeting is now called to order. In line with the Borough of Seabright's long-standing policy of open government and compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, I wish to advise you that adequate notice of this regularly scheduled meeting was sent to the Adams Park Press and other local newspapers on January 7th, 2019. In each instance, the date, time, and location of this meeting were provided in the notice. The meeting is open to the public. Roll call. Councilman Birdsall is not going to be here tonight. Councilman Keeler? Councilman Kelly?
Here.
Councilman Lexton, I am here. Councilman Rooney?
Here.
Councilman Schwartz will not be here, and Mayor Wong has been delayed. She will be here later on in the evening. If we can just take one moment to announce a moment of silence for Seabrighter Joanne Lang, who recently passed away. Thank you. All right, we're going to open up as we always do with remarks from the audience. If anyone wants to speak, come on up, stand up and announce your name and address, and move on from there. Anybody from the public? Jen?
Church.
Yeah, you can just come on up to make sure that we pick you up with the microphone.
Okay. I don't know if you guys know this, but the street lights on Ocean Avenue aren't working. We're working on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're working on it.
Very good.
Somebody come.
The new playground, which is on the east side of the new wall, I'm curious if people have to pay a beach admission to use our playground, and if not, how is that going to be controlled?
Is that a trick question? The playground's been there a while. I don't know the answer.
Well, the playground was always on the west side before Sandy. After Sandy, we placed it on the east side because that was the only place to put it. And now it's going back on the east side of the wall where you would pay an admission to get on the beach.
I don't think the kids have to pay to use the playground.
I think they wouldn't pay. I don't
know. Yeah, it's separated from, that was a donated playground to us. I do not believe that the kids have to pay for it. I don't want to say that 100% because I've never utilized the playground myself.
When I got here, that playground was donated. Right. That was the same location we replaced it at, so I don't know the answer.
Well, ask John, you were the chair of Beach. Did the kids have to pay for the playground?
They didn't pay for it back then.
Yeah, then they wouldn't have to pay for it now.
I don't know how to get onto it.
I think you access it from the boardwalk up. You access it from the boardwalk.
No, I think what Jan is saying though is if you show up at the beach with your kids, you just say you're going to the playground, but you're really going to the beach.
Well, they would check.
I'm going to the playground with my three kids.
We have checkers walking up and down.
Right, so we have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So right.
I'm just throwing it out there. All right. We said we're using this pavilion tonight, so we have a CO.
We have a temporary CO. Here we go.
Okay. Has FEMA inspected the building yet? Isn't that part of like getting reimbursed? They inspect it and they give us back some money?
Actually, we provide them with payment vouchers and then they reimburse us.
And is that happening?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. All right, last thing, and I know I brought it up last council meeting, but it really bugs me. Any progress on that porta potty? Thank you for the phone call. Really
on the what?
Porta potty.
Oh, yeah.
We have this building here with porta
potty. That's. I mean, it's going to be, so it's going to be in this year's budget, I think, right? Is that what we're going to try to do? We have to open up these bathrooms, we have to have somebody clean them full time, every day. So it wasn't in last year's budget, so we had to leave the porta potty there, which drives me crazy, too. I mean, that is not.
Last evening when I brought it up, nobody really had the same answer. It was for the fishermen, the pipes freeze, nobody knew what was going on.
And well, it was for the public to use because we didn't have the funds to hire a part-time or another full-time person. We can't leave the exterior bathrooms open without an attendant.
Right, and
they
the porta potties are going away ultimately. They're not going to be here. Correct.
And what Jan is saying is right too because we weren't all understanding that these bathrooms are made to be open year-round.
They are.
They are.
Yes.
So some people thought that the pipes were going to freeze. But
so
they are, this building is made for those bathrooms to be open year round.
And we're going to put it in the budget to hire somebody to clean the bathrooms, and the porta potties are going away.
Sounds good.
And then and the puddles.
They better.
It
would be better appropriate the funds.
But we are working on the puddles too.
Right.
Anybody else? State your name and your address.
Butch Hedgel, 7 East Church Street. Just to follow up on last meeting, should we get in bids for the ceiling of the wall?
Correct.
Haven't gotten them yet?
No, I have not gotten them yet. We talked about it at our Public Works meeting today. We talked to Garden State Seal Coating about that. They were going to show us some alternatives on that. We have not gotten the price yet.
Are they going to give you a price for every year?
I don't even know what the product is they want. It may be once. I don't know how often.
Usually a seal, you do it every year.
I don't know the answer. I'm sorry.
All right. And also, I noticed this touchy subject. This building, has the exterior punch list been completed?
No.
Okay.
It's not a touchy subject. It has to be completed.
Okay.
There's a number of issues still with the building.
Okay. That's what I was going to bring up was I went by today and I'm just going to be, I'm sure you looked at it.
No, there's a lot of issues left.
I wouldn't accept this at all. I mean, that's just shoddy work. That's just some of the stuff.
You're going to have to show me the locations, Butch, but I'd be happy.
Yeah,
we know that the finished product is not complete yet. You show us one of the smoke things.
It's stainless steel. I don't know why they would put that.
Well, they thought aluminum was going to make it. It doesn't
work yet.
Very good. I will give this to the contractor, the architect.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Mayor, do you want to go over? Thank you.
How do we look, Dina? Do we look good?
Yes. Get anybody else? John, were you going to talk? No? I don't. You're the only other member of the public here, so you don't ever talk. So.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Mr. President.
Thank you.
I did. Remarks from that?
Yes. Nobody else wants to speak.
Next up, consent agenda.
Mayor, I would approve the consent agenda minus resolution number 32-2019, which is going to be pulled.
Okay. Do we need a second on the remaining? Or actually, we need a vote to remove, right?
I'll make a motion to remove item number 32-2019.
Okay, since the motion to remove item number 32, council members, Keeler. I'm sorry, I was like, wait. Okay. Mr. Kelly? Mr. Lexi?
Yes.
Mr. Rooney?
Yes.
Okay.
And Mayor, I will now move the remainder of the consent agenda.
Okay. Mr. Keeler?
Yes.
Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Mr. Lexi?
Yes.
Mr. Rooney?
Yes.
Is there a separate discussion for item 32, or is that
there isn't, Mayor. We're just going to pull it after the administration request.
Okay. Next up, we have ordinances. Ordinance number 1-2019. This amends and supplements the code of the borough of Seabright, Chapter 130 land use.
I'll make the motion to introduce.
Okay, we got a motion to second to introduce ordinance number 1-2019. Public hearing will be held on February 5th, 2019, and advertised according to law. We'll do the roll call. Mr. Keeler. Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Mr. Lexi?
Yes.
Mr. Rooney?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance number 2-2019. This also amends and supplements Chapter 130 land use. This is the affordable housing regulations portion. I need a motion to introduce. Again, the public hearing on this ordinance will be held on February 5th, 2019, and advertised according to law.
I'll make that motion.
Motion is second. Mr. Keeler? Mr. Kelly? Mr. Lexi?
Yes.
Mr. Rooney?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance number 329.
You're making us feel really old by calling us Mr.
Oh, would you prefer you council members?
You always did before.
I'm trying to change it up a little bit. I was called council members. Council man.
I get Jack, but not me. Or Mark. I mean, he's younger than all of us.
I guess I don't like it when people call me Mrs. Long.
No.
No, when they get to me, they always say mayor, and they always call me councilman. But yes, they do Mr. and Mrs. otherwise. You're right.
Well, thank you for correcting me. Okay. All right, so next we have ordinance number 3-2019, and this is an ordinance with the municipal budget appropriation limits and establishing a cap bank.
I'll second it.
Okay. Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Lefstein?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman Rooney?
Yes.
Councilman Schwartz? Public hearing on ordinance number 3/2019, also to be held on February 5th, 2019, and advertised according to law. Now we have new business and the payment of vouchers.
I'll second that.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman Lexie?
Yes.
Councilman Rooney?
Yes.
Okay, we have one discussion item this week. Is that still a discussion item or not?
I think we wanted, Brian was going to discuss with us or something, I believe. Is that accurate?
You have a discussion item on here?
The foam insulation.
Oh, I think Charlie, basically your discussion with us.
We're going to discuss that in the executive session, right?
You can discuss it now.
I'll discuss it now?
Can I just give an introduction to
sure.
it? And then you folks can learn. The question is, do we want a change order for the new municipal complex to provide for spray foam insulation other than fiberglass bat insulation, which is in the current spec? It's a change order of approximately $38,000 now, and I'll explain that, increase to include spray foam as opposed to the fiberglass bat insulation. We've had the opportunity to review the change order with our architect, with our construction manager, and we've verified the prices that are pretty consistent with the change order. So the change order amount is about an industry standard, not an exorbitant amount. Although, as you know, with any change order, the subcontractor gets a percentage increase for profit and overhead, and the general contractor gets an additional percentage for profit and overhead. So there is an additional cost other than calling up the Joe's spray foam contractor and ask him how much it is. There's some upcharges on that. So I guess the question is, do we want to, it's one of the items in the new building that you don't get a do-over. It has to be done before the walls, you know, or drywalled and everything else. We are on the beach. Brian and Charlie have done a lot of research, can talk to that. But I guess our decision is, do we want to do a change order of that magnitude at this point on the building? There's a number of alternatives. You can do the north and east side that way, which are the big faces of the building that, you know, really sustain the worst, as well as the underside in the garage area was always going to be spray foam. But your decision is, do we authorize that change order or not? We can discuss it tonight, but I was able to find out, the good news is the construction manager talked to us. The insulation portion of the project isn't supposed to start until March 29th. So you do have some time to maybe meet at your workshop and discuss this in a more informal way, or you can choose to make a decision tonight. You are missing two council people. So that's my background.
Give you a little more background. It came up, I guess, a couple years ago when we started working with Kevin, our architect. They know his coding, he's regular at insulation, which is pretty standard for most of our old homes. But I was speaking with him, you know, under like resiliency, higher insulation, and so forth, durability. And I suggested we, you know, look at that spray foam as an option. Because from my research, it's a better way to go than just regular bad insulation, which, you know, regular orange soft, it's pink soft insulation. It just, it holds up over time. It doesn't really sag or degrade. You know, spray foam is much more resilient and has a higher insulation value. So in the bidding process, I remember we'd made a lot of changes during that bidding process for a lot of reasons. But I remember it was going to be listed as an alternative, or all pads or something. And then I think it was just scrubbed eventually at some point. But that was supposed to, based on our earlier conversations, I thought we were going to include that in there. So, but
So you two both think that this is like a no-brainer, right? We have to do it?
Well,
I mean, it's a brainer. It's not a no-brainer because we have to pay for it, but...
No, I don't think it's a no-brainer.
Okay.
That's why we're discussing it. Brian is right. I mean, through the research that I've done, I mean, the spray foam is definitely a better product. The thing is, I think the most important thing for us is to try to stay under budget. That's what we promised the taxpayers in this town. Kevin Zenimbrano was hired by us to be our architect. He builds a beautiful building, obviously. He spec'd it out with the same insulation that we have in here as what he wants to put over there. It's a $40,000 or $38,000 change order. We've already spent $90,000 on a project manager that we didn't anticipate spending, but after the way things went with this building, we thought that building might need somebody overseeing what's going on. So we spent $90,000 there. We did some work for the police department for, I think that was about $30,000. And the point is that Kevin Zenimbrano, when he puts the buildings together, he budgets us a certain way. He budgets us to be successful. So this building, as long as it took to get completed, we came in successfully under budget. If we spend $90,000 that he didn't anticipate on a project manager, if we spent $30,000, which he didn't anticipate, but it was something that needed to be done, if we spent $40,000 on insulation that he wasn't anticipating, we're picking away at the contingency money that he has set aside for us to be successful. So for me as a councilman, as a guy that represents the taxpayers, all of us, I think it's important to come in under budget. So we have probably, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months to go with this building, and Chad and I were just talking about some things that he wasn't happy with office space. There's a long way to go. The foam is a better product. There's no doubt about it. It's just you're given a budget. Yeah, so that's what Brian's saying is right. Over a period of time, over 20 years, it's going to hold up better. It's going to save the town money because it's going to be more efficient to run the building. But
so you don't think we should do it?
I don't, I mean, actually the mayor had recommended that I get Mayor Lucarelli's opinion, who is a project manager. That's what he does for a living. And he kind of said, Charlie, stay the course. Kevin Zenimbrano knows what he's doing. I mean, that was just his opinion. He said, it's not your job to start changing his numbers because that's why you hired him.
So
anyhow, that's just, I'm not going against Brian. I'm giving my opinion.
But you would vote no.
I would vote no.
All right, so I think what we should do then, and I don't, just my personal opinion, since we're not unanimous, I think we should hold off until the other two council members are here. This should be a full council decision.
I just like, are they looking at the rigid board, the 4-inch rigid board?
I know that the architect gave us an alternative, which is a wrapped fiberglass bat insulation, water can't penetrate it. It would be an additional cost in the product, the material, but not in the insulation because you install it the same way as the fiberglass. But it's, for lack of a better term, it's in plastic instead of just a fiberglass bat insulation. But I don't know the other cost of that.
So I'm just gonna throw a dumb question out there, just cause. So the building was designed without insulation?
No, it was designed with fiberglass insulation.
Is fiberglass insulation an inferior insulation for a commercial building?
It's code compliant.
Okay.
You just think this is a better product.
It is a better product.
And it will last better and it will sustain it better.
I don't know if you guys are spot your engineers. Do you have an opinion on this or do you want to size that as well?
Only limited knowledge in the sense that the bat insulation is the standard. It meets all the codes. It's very customary. The spray-on is preferred by some of the higher-end builders. But it comes with an added cost, naturally. So I would say there's absolutely nothing wrong with what was specified. It's industry standard. It's very customary. I would not in any way classify it as inferior because I don't believe it would have inspected if it was.
Was spray something, was a different kind of insulation something that the architect originally spec'd out and then removed for cost, to cut costs?
I don't, it was never originally spec'd out.
I discussed it a long time ago, and I mentioned it in too, and I think what was rosy was going to be, what do you call it, remember, they're called add.
Alternative.
Yeah, I think that's what it was discussed back then, and then we made a lot of change along the way, so I was going to be kept with that eons. But it was an, I was going to be in there, but then we had to kind of trim everything down and change so they wouldn't fit for good reason. So I think that it was scrubbed somewhere there. But yeah, I mean, essentially it's just a product thing, because I know one of the things we, when we have to rebuild, we figured we rebuild, you know, more sustainably, energy efficiency in mind, and for long-term purposes, and that's what this is. Versus regular back insulation, because you know if you look at it, that's why you know one of the reasons why I have like energy studies done, and homes have like cold spots in their house and so forth, because back insulation does over time break down and sag and all this stuff, and the spray foam is a higher insulation cost. So you know there's a little upfront cost, but the long-term savings, and that should be something maybe we can bring to the next meeting, maybe a comparison between the two, to give you more of a.
And I don't think there's any disputing that the foam is better. I mean, that's like, I'm not, like, I was just thinking, I mean, that's what you do for a living. Solar, insulation, the whole thing, I mean, it's, that's what you do. I mean, it's like asking me about avocados, you know, I mean, there's Haas avocados, there's Florida avocados, there's, you know, but I mean, the foam is the best, but do we want to go over budget or take the chance? I mean, we've spent half of, almost half of the money already.
So if we do this, what is the number left in the contingency budget?
That would be something that, like, we just could just ask each other if we did get the foam and we went over budget, would be if that caused that, would we all be okay with that? I mean, I'm obsessed with not going over budget. I mean, no, you got a budget, we got to get under it.
That's why, even though the addition of the whatever you want to call it, clerk of the works, I mean, anyone who knew the switch was free, that was a much bigger ticket item, which is why I posted it.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm like, all right, well, this is like a big ticket item, it's 100K. As opposed to something like this, which is a permanent addition to the building. You know, it's not a short-term thing, it's like for the lifetime of the building. So that's why I did it that way. Where, you know, if that was one of the things that causes this at all, you know, theoretical, if we go over by 20 grand, at the end of the day, you know, the spray foam is one of them, I mean, I could live with that. You know, it's because we work under budget on each building. So,
Did you still go back to the voters and ask them to approve that 20 grand?
Did I not get a water?
Well, but we also have other things we can look at along with. We're not near, we're right halfway through right now.
I don't think we're halfway through the contingency yet, but we're a
little less.
Yes.
That was a selling point.
It's okay.
How do we do track record wise? How do we, what kind of contingency was left over for this building had we not spent it on the walkway? What would we have left over in contingency on this building?
I think about $20,000, but it was half the contingency. But it was half the, I mean, you're...
Oh, okay.
You're not comparing...
So we won't sweat this out.
No, what, if we hadn't spent it on the walkway?
No. The walkway was under the bid amount. Our contingency amount in this building was $175,000.
Right.
We were under the bond issue enough for that. But our contingency was $175,000 in this building. We spent about $150,000 or $60,000 in contingency funds here. And probably half of those were self-generated. Spray foam insulation on the underside of this building was one of them.
So I'm just going to articulate, and maybe you guys take this back to your committee or whoever's going to talk about this. One thing that I'm very concerned about is the utility of the design of the new building. One of the things that we're finding now that we're here is some of the layout of the building here is not really conducive to how we do operations, right? And it's the beach, like, whatever. They can live it, they'll figure it out. But on the municipal side, I'm talking about police, fire, any public safety, I'm unwilling to say, like, they gotta figure it out. Like, I think we gotta get it right. And so I want to, before anything else, before we get too far down the line with construction, we really need to take it department by department and make sure the space is laid out so that they can operate efficiently. So I want this legacy person on that first thing, because I have a feeling we're going to be generating more change orders when we look at the actual operations.
The same thoughtfulness was given to our municipal operations that was given to our beach operations, and we're going to have a lot of change orders.
And Joe, how long do we have to make this decision? You said March?
No.
You'll have to make it in your February 5th meeting.
February 5th. All
right. Your next meeting. Okay. Because then you don't have another meeting for 2 more weeks after that. And they have to order supplies and make the changes if you need to.
So where's our legacy person?
Hmm?
Where's our legacy person?
Can we ask them?
Yeah. About this?
Yeah.
This issue? Yes.
And what did he say?
Well, he's not making he said the same thing you folks are. He doesn't question that the spray foam is a better product. He's saying that the spray foam is a better product. Our estimator informed us that the closed cell spray foam, he gave us all the prices. He said that the additional cost is reasonable according to industry standards, but he's not making, he said $41,128, which it's really not, it's less than that, is a fair price. So let me know if you have any other questions. We asked him about whether the cost was correct, whether we were getting, maybe, I don't want to use the word gouged, but were we in a corner getting gouged? He said absolutely not. The spray foam was our estimator informed us and all these other things.
So did he make a recommendation? Yeah, you're stupid if you don't go with this? Or
no.
I think they're not going to do that.
One of the first people you spoke to was Rob, because he's in construction. He's seeing this right now. Well, and do you mind saying what his opinion was?
No, Rob loves the foam. I haven't talked to one person that has not said that the foam is far superior. So that doesn't even like... My whole thing are the numbers. I mean, the other thing that Kevin had mentioned to me, Zetambrano, when I talked to him, is he said, we're dealing with a different animal, is his choice of words, with Unimap. He said, they are going to nickel and dime us on every change order. Kelso didn't. They dropped, you know, I don't know if they dropped the ball, I don't want to say that, but I mean, you know, they were good to us with the change orders here, big time. And this company is just waiting for the change orders. They're looking for them. So, you know, that makes me feel like we need to be real careful.
And they will take us to court.
Yeah.
But we also confirm their prices, Charlie.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I just feel like, I don't know, do we all not want to go over budget?
We don't want to go over budget.
We don't want to go over budget. I don't want to sit
none of us do.
In Donovan's or somewhere and somebody's saying, I they don't care that we got insulation. They might go for the walkway. They might say, I get that, but we got foam insulation. You know, I'll be like, what? Eddie Wells will be saying what?
I just want to point out, anytime I ever hear any member of the public say that we lack transparency, this is pure evidence of the fact that we are the most transparent council I think I've ever
been. Well, except that they're not here.
So they're not here.
We can't help that.
Yeah,
we can't help
that. So I'm sure it would be great.
Look at Neil, he's got something to write tonight.
We're more fun.
But what is, so the downside of not doing this, Brian, is what? That the building won't fold? I don't understand. The
process. You get a higher, one of the things that, especially me where I am, you get a guy that's asked over the course of years, like, you know, try to build a little more intelligently, and, you know.
But does the building hold up?
Has a higher insulation value, so, when you heat and cool, you have to heat and cool less for the life.
So that's what it's saving us? It's saving us for energy inside?
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. Energy costs.
Does it protect the building more as far as structurally or anything, or is that not?
I didn't.
How's it feeling here right now?
I'm fine.
Was it 25 out?
What's that?
Yeah, I'm fine.
This is the insulation we'd be getting over there.
But is this merely an insulation issue, or is it also like a structural issue of some sort?
No, it is part structural, too. The foam makes the building stronger.
So what's our process for getting
the foam is way better. It's way better.
For the vote.
Well, we got to build that.
That's why it's 40,000 more. Right? That's why it's 40,000 more. I mean, it's better. Right?
No,
we'll be gone by the time we save the money that $40,000 we spent.
There's not a right or wrong answer on this, in my opinion, you know, looking at it. It's a money issue.
Is this a kind of, Brian, in your mind, and then Charlie, I'll ask you also, in 20 years from now, 40 years from now, is someone going to be looking at that building and say, these people were morons, they didn't put foam insulation, and now we're paying for it 20 years later?
No.
And I'm saying that because I'm...
It's a public space. Maybe if they lived in it.
Okay. Because I'm coming from a position that I fully don't understand what you guys are talking about. I'm a lawyer. I'm not an architect. I don't... So.
Is it going to be like if they have to drop a new line, like electric line or something, they can't get in there because there's all this spray foam crap going on there?
No, none of that's an issue. It's purely...
Either way, they're not saying anything.
Okay.
Foam or not.
No one's going to notice.
But Brian's right. It will be a more efficient building.
It's also...
From an energy perspective.
Yeah, no doubt.
You could change the colors and...
I'm more concerned about the structural aspects.
No. These buildings are built like...
Neither building's going to fall down.
Bunkers.
No.
Okay.
It's just not going to be great.
So why don't we do what I suggested, if everyone else is okay with that, just let's get the others. We shouldn't make this decision with only four of us.
Do this all over again?
Can you guys talk about it off?
Yeah,
it
could have to be off.
Just vote, and then just come in and be ready to vote on it?
Yeah, I don't think we have that in the other.
Okay, very good. All right. And then we bring us to our council committee reports. And first up is Beach and Grounds, Councilor Lynn Schwartz, not here.
I'm going to do, in the spirit of Josh Schwartz not being here and the fact that it's the new year, I'm just going to do progress. I don't think there's much that has happened in the new year as far as administration, shared services, or public relations. Right?
Okay, fair enough. Let's see. Public safety, education, recreation.
Me. Okay, well, I'll do better than that, Mark.
Go for it.
Just because it's Dina's first meeting. Second. All right, so public safety. This is for all, well, two of my three, library and public safety. We're moving into the new building is very exciting. I don't have any real reports here from the police department, but we're looking forward to getting into that new building, our police and fire, first aid, all our first responders, same with the library downstairs. Everybody's really excited. The staff is ready to go. And with education, I think we're really moving in the right direction. We have some things moving our way, and we're just going to keep pushing it. And 2019 looks pretty positive. It's exciting.
Thank you.
It's exciting to be here tonight.
The budget meetings will be held on 31st, and that starts at 10 o'clock. You can check the schedule.
When
we're at the department up to this. Insurance, we were at the JIF meeting. Captain Brett was there, and along with Sean, which is good. And I think the fact both of those people there is a good idea. Work together on safety issues and be aware of the overall focus of the JIF. Focusing on, and we've been working with Joe here on cybersecurity, it's one of the main focus points for 2019, and also again with Joe Marshall on safety. So we have I've talked to people on other JIFs, I think this JIF has the best focus on safety. Probably in New Jersey, and they spend a great deal of time, and they have people, professionals that go around, and they're coming to your seat right every couple of months, and they're walking through. So it's a good idea, a good program. On court, this Thursday is the first session of the year, and it'll be the first session where a new prosecutor will be working, and that starts at 8 o'clock. And again, on court, we have a shared service agreement with Ocean Board, but because of their storm damage, the meetings are held in Shrewsbury. It's a sort of spectacular for what we're supposed to be. But it's well worth it for the members of council just go over there and sit in and see how the operation goes. And the final thing is just the survey studies being worked on. Revisions and changes, and we'll hear from them in the next couple of weeks. That's all I have now.
Thank you, Councilman. Capital plan, flood control,
communication,
Councilman Kelly?
Just briefly, I attended two good meetings over the last 2 weeks. The first one was the New Jersey Frames, which is the DEP's Office of Coastal and Land Use Planning. They're writing a regional adaptation to flood risk plan that covers our entire coastal area. NJ Frames stands for Fostering Regional Adaptation Through Municipal Economic Scenarios. Frames. But basically, they're the ones working on the flood maps that show Seabright, you know,
flooding.
Covered by water, you know, perpetually. And it was really, I'm very glad that I was there. I think it is essential that our area be represented in this planning effort because they are basically planning our future for us and we really need to have a say in it. So that was a good meeting. There's a website, NJ Frames, that has that presentation and also the draft recommendations for their regional planning. Also, Councilman Lexi and I traveled and our administrator Bruni traveled to Trenton for a meeting in the governor's office with Atlantic Highlands and Highlands to talk about shared service opportunities. I say this over and over and over and over, so I'll just say it one more time. The state is putting a lot of pressure on municipalities to consolidate, to share services, to do everything that we can to save money. But we could consolidate and save money and take our municipal portion down to zero, and we'd still owe Shore Regional $3.3 million for 23 kids. So until or unless we're talking about school contributions to school districts as well as counties' efforts to minimize property taxes through pressure from Trenton are not going to get anywhere. So I used that opportunity to really advance that argument, and discussions of school taxes have also been added to our shared service work that we're doing with Trenton. Nothing particularly came out of it except a commitment to keep working that with us to try to find solutions and then technical assistance for Seabright and Highlands in particular to look at some of the shared things that we were looking at with DPW. So that continues to move forward, and Councilman Legacy now has that as a committee assignment, so we know we have somebody to keep moving the ball forward. Well, thank you. That's all.
What is Frames then?
Fostering, NJ, Fostering Regional Adaptation through Municipal Frames. Fostering Regional Adaptation through Municipal Economic Scenarios. So it started out as like, so this was a Two River, it started with Oceanport, it was a Two River Mayors Association post-Sandy planning grant through to NOAA to do regional coastal risk of flood plan. And it grew into this like thing that became a statewide effort to really look at the whole area regionally. And so they've kind of broken it up into, you know, the like five discrete areas, and then looking at the flood patterns and the scenarios and all the adaptation strategies, everything from, you know, adopting base plus three to building bulkheads and dunes and, you know, that. And, you know, everybody wants to know relocation.
Do they have a report? I'll
send it to Chris and ask her to bring it up.
Thank you. I agree with you. It's good to stay right on.
They're going
to
plan us right out of existence. So somebody needs to be there speaking up for Seabright.
That's right. I think you hit it right.
We have on our agenda an executive session.
Yes.
Do we need the executive session?
We do.
We have a closed session to discuss litigation. And we'll come back and adjourn the meeting with no and contracts. We'll come back with no formal action to be taken.
Motion to go into executive session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.